Hello, everyone.
Hi. Welcome to another episode. And we're super excited to share with you an interview that we did with a coven living in the States. Maybe you'd like to.
Yeah, there are a coven in Arizona called the Coven of the Desert Sun. Their Instagram is amazing. I've been following them for a while. That's how we found them. They practice the Gala tradition, which is an all-male gay, like, male mysteries tradition.
Mm-hmm.
We thought that would be
like exclusively for gay men or queer men, basically.
Yeah.
And for them to sort of connect with magic in a way that feels, well, more appropriate, I guess, than sort of following the female-centered Wiccan mysteries or traditions. Yeah. So I hope you enjoy. And before we get into that, we'll share with you some crystals and books that we recommend.
Nice.
Enjoy.
So my crystal for this episode is carnelian, and I hope I'm saying that correctly. I've only ever heard it said as carnelian.
Yes, I've heard it as well.
Cool, okay.
Or carnelian.
Okay. Yes, it's beautiful. It's a projective stone. It's ruled by the sun and fire, which makes absolute sense, because it's used a lot in sex magic.
And it's like red or orange.
Mm. Yeah.
Really bright, really like powerful.
A passionate flame. It's used for protection, eloquence, healing. It's used for courage as well, which makes sense because it's a very like sort of self-confidence inducing stone.
That sort of Gryffindor energy.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. I've used it personally in glamours. And enhancing your natural assets, charms to make yourself stand out, or for people to see you in a more attractive light. It resonates. I mean, it's the stone of the sacral chakra as well. Well, one of the stones of the sacral chakra, which makes sense because it's like the chakra of creative energy and sex and passion and all of this, and it's all, they embody all the same things, so that makes sense. And in Cunningham's Encyclopedia of Crystals and Gems and Metals, he states that the stone is worn by the shy and timid to bolster their courage, which definitely works.
Can vouch as well.
And he says it's a great stone to wear when you're doing public speaking work, or when you're in a situation that you might feel slightly uncomfortable in. And actually for my class yesterday, I had some carnelian with me.
Oh, no.
For this, which was very helpful.
I want it as well when I have to speak in front of people, or if I'm like, I'm feeling depressed or something, but I really want to get the energy to get up and do something.
Yeah.
Carnelian is really helpful.
It's a very good like counter energy to depression, for sure.
A bit intense sometimes.
Yeah.
So it has to be like when you're actually ready to go out and do something.
Use it sparingly. It also says that carnelian was worn to prevent skin diseases, insanity, nosebleeds, and all blood diseases, and as a general health inducer.
Wow.
Which I guess, like, because of its strong, I mean, it's strong energy, I guess, if you want to use it magically as some sort of like immune boost type thing, you know, along with actual herbal
actual
things
medicine.
And medication, if that's what you need. It's a good stone for that. But yeah, I don't know. I've always used it more for, like, I mean, for healing it is great, because it's like this warming healing energy. But I've always used it more for glamours for sure. To hide my stereotypical warty witch's face under this like well-crafted glamour. No. But no, it's a great stone for self-confidence for sure. And yeah, I mean,
it gets rid of those like self-doubting thoughts.
Absolutely. If you're going clubbing or it's, I don't know, some situation where you're not normally around lots of people who are in a different state of mind, it's like, it's a massive help.
Mm-hmm.
I had a necklace that I enchanted, but like just wearing that as well to a club,
mm-hmm.
it's like that made me feel much more confident in a people situation than I normally am.
Nice.
Which is very nice. It also strengthens the voice, which, I mean, that makes sense with public speaking and things like that.
Yeah.
And especially when worn around the neck. And it's also good for astral travel. It's another one of these strong protective energies that you can take with you when you go mm-hmm. traveling. And I mean physical traveling and any spiritual journeying you're doing as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's also mostly worn to stimulate sexual impulses. So I guess for maybe if you need to put a spark back into a relationship, it could be a good stone to use for that.
Yeah, or just if your sexual energy is low. Or...
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Probably especially if your sexual energy is low because of like self-doubt and shyness or whatever like that.
Yeah. Nice. So yeah, it's a very strong energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's definitely something, a use in it for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Nice. So I want to talk about quartz crystal. Yet another very, very basic gemstone to have around. It's very powerful. It's the base crystal basically for like a lot of other crystals, so it's like an entire family of crystals. That's rose quartz, amethyst, citrine, smoky quartz, carnelian, jasper, etc. Quartz crystal is kind of the base for all of those crystals. And quartz, it's a clear crystal, and the ancient Romans actually found it so powerful that they would like present the crystal itself with offerings of food and drink, because they thought that surely the crystal was like a living spiritual being.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And also photographer Semyon Kirlian, he actually photographed quartz crystals with certain photography method.
Oh, I've heard about that.
That shows the auric field, and it shows the auric field around a quartz crystal. And so basically, if you hold the quartz in your left hand or your receptive hand, it expands the electromagnetic field of the body by at least double.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like clearly incredibly powerful, but I mean, also spiritually, I find it really useful as a sort of crystal that can sort of jump in and be everything. It's kind of like a white candle because it's just so like it amplifies everything. It amplifies everything that's around it, and you can sort of program it. I love using words like program and download when you're talking about spiritual stuff. Yeah. But it's very easy to program a quartz crystal like by meditating on it. You can program the crystal to sort of do almost anything. And it will just amplify every energy that's around it. And because of that, you should be careful to cleanse it very often, because it does absorb negative energies as well.
It's like the onion in the fridge of the crystal.
Yeah, exactly. You can put it in water, you can even put it in salt water, and it's safe in sunlight. However, if you've got a very clear crystal that isn't like that you can see through, just be careful with sunlight, because it can act as a magnifying glass, and actually like things can catch on fire if you're not careful.
Wow.
So be careful with that. You can also bury it in the ground to cleanse it, or use smoke rituals with herbs to cleanse it. If you use it in meditation, it can really help you. It just makes meditation very clear, and it can get you in a very stable sort of connection with your higher self. Just clearing up any communication and also filtering out any distractions around you. You can place it on your third eye, and that's really good for clarity or focus during meditation, or you can place it over the crown chakra, so on top of your head, and that open lines of communication with higher realms and higher self and all of that.
Nice.
So, super powerful mediator and amplifier.
We actually had in our attic for a while a circle of quartz points.
Oh, nice.
That we just used as a general space for various different things.
Cool.
And that was, yeah, that was like a huge boost to like lots of the stuff that we did. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, yeah, so maybe let's just start, if you could tell us a bit about your tradition and the beginnings of your tradition, maybe.
Okay. Well, the founder of the tradition, his name is Casey Giovinco. Lives in North Carolina on the East Coast. He wanted to create a group where the toxic things about the gay community were not allowed in. Really against, like, it kind of sort of all are against like the hookup culture in the gay community and the way that the gay community kind of sort of just attacks each other sometimes. And
okay.
He had experiences with people coming up to him where he had them say, like, yeah, I just got told that I should just, you know, go off and die or something because I wasn't their type of person. And, you know, that's kind of sad to have, like, within the gay community, especially especially older men and people. Sorry, we have a dog.
It's okay.
And so he decided to create a group where that wasn't the way to treat other people, especially your gay brothers.
Mm-hmm.
He would create a spiritual path where if you were gay and you were rejected by Orthodox religions and you were being treated by society because of these religions, like, there's this path that can empower you to become the spiritual person that you're craving to be without all that toxicity that's in the gay community. You're not going to be told to go off and die just because you're not somebody's or, you know, you're not going to be not welcome. So set out to start a group in order to empower gay people to say, like, hey, well, you know what? On the one hand, we have these religions that are telling us we can't be a part of them because we're gay. And that's kind of that's just another rejection that gay people have to go through, aside from being rejected by society in general a lot of the times. Maybe not so much with the younger generation because they're much more accepting a little bit. But you know, you can be empowered, you can be spiritual and be a part of a community where this is not part of it. And that's how it began. It began like about 8-9 years ago. He decided to do this. He had already been practicing witchcraft for, I think, over 20 years in various other traditions. And he decided to do this instead.
Nice. That's amazing.
What about you two? How long have you been part of Gala, and how long have you been doing witchcraft?
I've been part of Gala for like about 5 years now. My first year was a training year. Everybody has to go through a year and one day of training, like all traditions. So I got initiated as a first degree Gala witch 4 years ago, and then about a year and a half later, I was initiated into a second degree Gala high priest, and that was 3 years ago.
I've only just started actually practicing. Practicing about 2 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
That's excluding my year plus one day. So that's one day, it'd be about 3 years.
Okay. Nice. But were you both doing witchcraft like other traditions before Gala?
No, I grew up strictly Catholic, Hispanic community, Hispanic family. I was always interested in the occult. I never really practiced witchcraft because growing up you're going straight to hell if you even think about it. So there's a lot of fear, like a lot of these fear-based, keep you in line. And I woke up one day, one Sunday actually, and I turned around and I looked at the guy I was dating at the time, and I'm like, you know, I think I want to be a witch. and he woke up and he goes, like, what the hell are you talking? I'm like, yeah, I think I want to be a witch. And I went off and bought two candlesticks and a little bundle of sage, and I thought I was the most powerful empowered witch. And that was 5 years ago. And then like about 6 months later, but when I wanted to start doing actual witchcraft, I didn't want to do it in a traditional, like, heterosexual way, like the heterosexual, heteronormative way of doing witchcraft.
Yeah.
I want to be a gay witch. I mean, there has to be a way to be a gay witch, because I knew that you have to have traditional covens, you have to have man, woman, and all these other things which you don't believe in. But 6 months later, I just happened to be scrolling through Facebook, and I heard a recorded interview actually by Casey Juvinko, and they were interviewing him about being a gay witch. I'm like, oh, this is perfect. This is it. So like, I contacted him as soon as I finished reading the recording, and I've been with him since.
Nice. That's beautiful.
What do you think, what for you are the main differences between Gala and other Wiccan traditions? I mean, I guess a lot of it is that it's mostly queer. Well, all queer.
Really, yeah.
Yeah. But what are the other sort of differences for you from maybe Gardnerian Wicca?
The whole system is based somewhat on British traditional Wicca, Bill Gardner and Sybil Veeck and all these Europeans follow. The main difference with us is that in BTW Wicca, you normally have an opposite gendered person initiating another person. A woman will initiate a man will initiate a woman. We don't do that. We're all men. We don't view polarity that way. So we don't put that way. That we're all men. The only female that we allow in ritual is the goddess, and that's how we invoke her, because we don't always invoke them, the god or the goddess. They're different because I guess the majority of the covens out there are Gardnerian based, or what Gardner, and a lot of the traditions that came out from him still follow pretty much this outline of how to do magic and ritual. We don't follow that outline. From the setup of our circle to the times that we do our Asbats, or how we celebrate the Sabbaths, it's different. And that's not even including the gay part of it, because we kind of mold our myths and our rituals in order to include the gay magic, the gay aspect of it. Yeah. But just the whole setup of actually just doing it is alien to a lot of people, and a lot of people will like look at us and like, what the hell are you doing? That's not how you're supposed to do it. Says who? This is the way that we do it.
Nice. But do you work with sort of what people call like the divine masculine and the divine feminine in that, like that kind of polarity, or?
We do, but I think that a lot of people out there, once they hear masculine or feminine or anything that has to do with gender, they automatically think it just has to be man and woman.
Yeah.
We work with the polarity. Gerald Gardner did not really mention polarity that much, as far as he basically said magic has to be between a man and a woman. Very against all male covens or all female covens, because he felt that working partners at one point basically fall in love, and for two men to fall in love, he didn't really agree with that.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's a little hard. It was homophobic, a little, our polarity, we do call it feminine and masculine, but not in the gendered way. We basically, because they're more like forces. They're forces of this energy.
We always talk about receptive and projective instead, because
positive, negative,
like electrical current.
We're trying to create a battery. Basically, we're a battery. This is my working partner. So we don't base it on gender. It's on your ability, and gender is so fluid anyways. like I have, there's men out there that exhibit the traits of the female or of the feminine. They're my brother's, he's a single father, he has three daughters, you know, like, and he does things that would be considered the role of the mother. And, you know, like my niece, she's a high school wrestler. So we basically just, if you're able to exhibit the masculine more than you are the feminine, then you would take up the role of priest. Mm-hmm. If your character, if your traits, it's easier for you to exhibit the motherly or what's considered to be feminine, mm-hmm. not necessarily motherly, then you become the working partner and you would take the role of the goddess. We don't call each other priest and high priestess. We use it in mm-hmm. church. So it basically has to do with your personality.
Nice. That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
You don't take sex into account. It's personality and your ability, because if you're not able to actually have results with what you're doing, then try a little bit, you know, like try again.
Yeah, totally. Nice.
On the website for God of Witchcraft, it talks a bit about sort of reclaiming the gay male priesthood idea.
Different ancient cultures.
We were wondering what your thoughts on that are and some insights into that.
Well, did you want
to? You can go ahead.
Well, throughout history, the LGBT, gays, lesbians, the transgender community, they've always been seen as something manageable. Mm-hmm. Like, always been in that liminal place where you're right in the middle of two different things.
Exactly.
And it's not until recently, but with the advent of these Abrahamic religions, like Christianity, and that all of a sudden that was viewed as something bad. Mm-hmm. It's magical. It's like you're able to view things, you're able to do things that you identify as something else, like specifically something, you're not able to do an experience very well. Doesn't mean that you can't do it. It's mm-hmm. just harder for you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So in ancient times, all throughout cultures, they've always seen the gay community as magical, so that's a priesthood, basically. And they're one mm-hmm. And that got taken away, and basically, gays were just put through the mud. And like, oh well, you can't do this. This, you're an abomination. And because I personally feel that that's starting to kind of sort of chip away that ugly facade that was built up around us, starting to like crumble. I'm like, well, no. I think that we can go back to being these magical people. These that people look up to give a perspective, not just about society, but it's just like the occult perspective, like the spiritual perspective, what it is in tune so much easier to both currents instead of just being stuck in one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that resonates for sure.
Yeah.
I was hoping to ask, like, all the guys sort of in a row, what your areas of expertise are, because I saw on your Instagram, like, amazing Instagram,
mm-hmm.
Each, like, a post of, this is our rune reader, this is, like, everyone has their niche in the coven, and, I mean, that's really interesting to me, so I'd love to hear about, like, what you guys, like, what your expertise are.
Mm.
I started off with not necessarily knowing very much about magic and witchcraft, so a lot of the things that just kind of came in as a complete blank slate. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. So we ended up learning rune readings, and mm-hmm. so after a while, I ended up kind of like really taking on to that quite a bit. There was just that mystery still behind it that you just see only just a symbol. And that you have to kind of like know a little bit more about that symbol and where it came from and the different types of meanings behind it. Whereas like with the tarot, I never really connected very well with the tarot. It's a little bit it has more images so you can see it better, but I think I really got along well with the runes. Mm-hmm. And since then I've been kind of really like delving a little bit further into the Norse mythology. So it's an area that I just kind of want to become a little bit more knowledgeable in. What else should I say?
He's very good at pleromancy. Like he'll get images and he'll get messages as he's putting these locks down and trying to interpret them. And the more he does, the better he gets. So I'm like, okay, well, you're the cleromancer. I'm like, you're the one that can, you know, like,
nice.
And the rest of the group is kind of sort of the same way. They had this ability to do something, but they couldn't really understand it until it was actually pointed out. I'm like I told him, like, oh, that's because you're a clairvoyant.
You see
the future. We have one member who's clairsentient. He's not really empath. Empath is kind of sort of like included in clairsentience.
Yeah.
But he's a clairsentient, so he'll touch things and then he'll get images and he'll tell him, like, oh, I'm like, oops, and he'll go off. I'm just touching this little thing. And he couldn't control it sometimes.
Mm.
Well, you have to, you know, this is the way you do it. And it's called clairsentience. It's a psychic ability.
Mm-hmm.
For me, ever since I was a little kid, I was always able to sense other spirits, I could see dead people. I would get messages, things would always, like ghost activities and stuff.
Mm.
And it would scare the living daylights out of me. I'm like, okay, well, what am I doing? And it wasn't until I got into witchcraft that I was able to familiarize. So now I familiarize myself with it and I see them not so much as a threat, but just people that are in a different plane.
Yeah.
They're trying to tell you something, you know, like they just don't be scared of it. And you can't even call them people because all they are is just a shell of a person that used to be alive.
Yeah.
And I learned to communicate with them and actually tell them, okay, well, I'm gonna need you to stop making that noise because it's really, you know, like, hey, I'm going out of town, make sure the house is okay, like, and you know, like that. I had a friend one time come into the house when I was out of town, and he said that he walked in and the chair started moving around and he ran out of the house. I'm like, oh, yeah. So I became the medium. And the group, I'm able to get messages from the other side easier and do this Kardashian style witchcraft. Not witchcraft, but like mediumship, where we call in these spirits and we have seances and stuff. It's easier for me to do than everybody else. But then once we're all together, each individual gift will put in a message to create this huge message and make it more clear.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Call him in and then he'll hear something. And I'm like, well, I just heard this. And then our clairvoyant, we're like, well, she has long hair because he sees things. Mm-hmm. And then sentient will be like, she's kind of nervous or she's kind of excited or she's angry because she feels it. So all together we work as one unit to make the whole experience clear for
everybody. That's really nice.
That sounds beautiful. So it's kind of like you come into the group and you are sort of encouraged to find your own skill, sort of your own natural skill and hone that and learn about it. And
And it doesn't necessarily just have to be one particular skill. Like I do clairomancy. Yeah. I'm very good with the tarot. I'm not so good as the runes. The runes have a very different spirit to them. Like they have to like you back in order to get a message. And if they don't like you, they won't.
For sure.
So I'm not very good at the runes, but I do clairomancy. I do the spiritism and just general witchcraft. And you just have to hone in on, like, you have to make this one skill sharper for you. And you can't advance unless you actually prove yourself in gala. Like, because we're not gender-centric and we're not, you have to put in the work and you have to show what you say you can do. Mm-hmm. And if you can't do it, then make yourself better. It doesn't mean you can't do it at all. It's just have to practice and make it better. Until you can prove it, then you advance, basically.
Mm.
Yeah, nice.
I think it's like that in a lot, like the other sister traditions too, Sacred Pentagraph and Orsa, founded by Sybil Leek.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, nice. Cool. And how many gala witchcraft
like how many covens are there within this tradition that you know of?
Gallas, two in Pennsylvania, one in New York, two in North Carolina, one here. There used to be one in Seattle, but that one disbanded because everybody moved away. So there used to be seven. I think we're down to six right now.
Okay. And but they're all US-based.
Yeah, they're all US-based. There's an online on Facebook called Coven Malona. And then if you're international, then you join that one. And then I guess Casey's the one that mediates that group. So I'm not quite sure what he does with that group.
Yeah.
We do have people interested from Switzerland.
Okay, nice.
We have the African diaspora religions.
Yeah.
Get along with them. Well, sometimes it's kind of like, why are you doing this? I'm like, that's not the way you're doing. Like, well, you're not here to do santeria. You're here to do witchcraft.
Like, so there's other covens. Do you have like a big meetup of this tradition or?
Yes. Usually in the East Coast, we have to meet once a year. We call it Grand Coven. Everybody flies in, takes a train or something, and we spend a whole week out in the woods. And we basically, there's a lot of classes. We each have to teach classes on our abilities and our topics.
Yeah.
Like how being gay myth, how we can incorporate gay myth into our witchcraft, how to incorporate it into our daily lives, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It's mandatory to go right now. I don't know if the tradition keeps getting bigger, I don't know how we're going to be mandating that everybody show up at once.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But right now we just show up once a year. Mm-hmm. For a whole.
Nice. That's like quite a romantic image as well of like all the witches gathering from
especially since we're on the West Coast, we don't get to see very many people very often. Mm-hmm. And so it's always kind of nice to like see them again and then like to further deepen that bond with all of our fellow wild brothers.
Right, we're going to do a sort of double feature this time. just not to keep the episodes too long, we're going to split this up. But don't worry, the next episode will be released at approximately the same time. So you can just go ahead and listen to that right now.
So we hope you enjoyed listening and got something out of this episode. And as usual, we've really enjoyed making this. And thank you again to Nortnagal for letting us use their song Yug. And you can check them out through, we'll post all the links in the description. They're on SoundCloud, Facebook, YouTube, I think as well.
Yeah.
And yes, thank you to all round beautiful, lovely boy, Beau French, for designing our logo. And you can check him out on his Instagram. He posts some of his art there. It's Beau, and that's at BEAU.JF. And yeah, please remember to subscribe to us, show us some love, give us a rating if you can. And yeah, we appreciate all of that so much. And it's been crazy the amount of appreciation we have felt.
So beautiful.
For this. So yeah, we'll include links to all of our socials and our email for the podcast all in the episode description. And yeah, have a magical day.
Yay.